I'm going to be reading Psalm 103, the first, what was it, 10?
12.
12 verses. 12 verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Amen.
Thanks, Trent. Do you realize that we all fulfill many roles day by day? If you think about it, if you were to try to list out all the different roles that you have, all the different hats that you swap in and out day by day, some of us are fathers or mothers, husbands or wives. Many of us that have jobs now or have had jobs, there have been times when you've been a worker, and sometimes you've been a worker and you've been a supervisor at the same time. You could be a U.S. citizen, you could be a church member, you could be a soldier or an airman or a Navy guy. You could be, at one time, you could be a student, or you could be a teacher, or you could be both at the same time, depending on your circumstances. There's all kinds of roles that we fill. And depending on the moment, the circumstances that you be facing at that time, you may have to swap out one reality, one role for the other. There's a, what we might call an order of precedence as to which role seems to have the biggest biggest demand for your attention at that moment. But in the midst of all those things, all those different roles that we fill, all those different positions that we find ourselves in, there's two that we wrestle with, every one of us, day by day. And that is, on the one side, we are beings of the earth. We are beings of flesh and of blood. And at the same time, we are also beings of the heavenly realm. We are beings of spirit. In fact, we got into that the last few weeks when I walked us through some of the book of Romans, specifically Romans chapter 7 and chapters 8. We found that we are at one point being pulled in a direction by the natural side, the fleshly side, and at the same time being pulled by the spiritual side. For those of us who have come into a relationship with God through Christ, we have been given the Spirit, and there's a reality that there's a tug of war going on. The tractor beam of the flesh, the gravitational pull of the flesh, wants to pull us away from the presence of God, get us caught on the things of this world. And yet there's a new reality, a new force at work within us, that Romans 8 tells us, that there is a reality of the things of God, the principles of God, the truths of God, that also pull us heavenward. The key in those things, recognizing that there's a pull in one direction, pull in the other, the key as to which one wins is found, and I mentioned this last week in Romans chapter 8. In the New American Standards, it says this. It says, for those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The reality is that we are beings of two realms, like a frog that lives both in the earth and in the water at the same time. We live at any one point, both in the heavenlies and in the earth. But the determining factor as to who wins, who dominates, is determined by the response of our thinking, the response of our mind. And Romans tells us, and we got into this last week, about the idea of what are we living towards or living in accordance with? What is it that our mind is set on? What are we pursuing? What are we giving our attentions to? The concept here deals with where are we setting our thoughts, setting our minds. How many people here remember the old television sets where you literally had to get up out of your chair, walk up to the TV set, and turn the knob, click, click, to the 13 stations? Remember those? And then, of course, you had the little fine-tuner that you had to spin every once in a while. But when we talk about setting our minds, the concept behind that is tuning into, like click, like turning and setting, deliberately focusing or orienting your mind or your existence on something. When you think about Thanksgiving, most of the time we set the table. We put out salt shakers and pepper shakers. We put out place settings, butter. We specifically, intentionally set those things on the table. If you've ever been in a boat or an airplane, hopefully the person in charge of the front of that thing sets a course. They choose a direction for us, for the plane. And with that direction in mind, that direction as the goal, we all move together in that direction. When we talk about the direction, the course of our lives, the reality that we're members, we're part of two different realms, Scripture calls us that we might choose, that we might deliberately orient our thinking towards the things of God, that we might set the direction of our lives, that in all that we do, that we might be Godward, that we might have minds that look up. In fact, in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, the first four verses of that, it says this. Colossians 3 opens with this. It says, therefore, based on all the things that we've talked about, all the things that God has done for us, we are called to keep seeking, keep driving, keep pursuing, be actively engaged, and running hard after the things of God. In fact, it says in the New American Standard that we're to set our minds in the heavenlies. But that very same passage, depending on the translation you use, New NIV says this. It says that we're to set our heart on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set our mind on the things above. The NLT says, set your sights on the realities of heaven and think about the things that are above. The reason I share this is we know that there's a battle going on all around us. Day by day, we enter into it. We open up our eyes and we're barraged with images and perspectives, mindsets that pull us hard away from the things of God. And Scripture over and over tells us that the way that we overcome, the way that we break free of that tractor beam that wants to pull us away from the things of God, is that you and I must deliberately, intentionally tune our thoughts, orient ourselves towards the things of God. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 22, as David, King David, was coming to the end of his life and ready to hand the baton to his son Solomon, 1 Chronicles 22, David says this. He's speaking to Solomon. He says, now, my son, may the Lord be with you. Build the house of the Lord. He knew that he had a call in his life. He was stirring up his son that he might walk in and pursue that calling. And then later on in verse 22, David said this. This, Rick Sergi paraphrase. The secret of your success in accomplishing all that God has planned for you to do. David had told him that he, under his life and under his ministry, all the things that were needful were gathered together to build the house of God. And David passed it on to Solomon. There it was, stockpiled, ready for him to pull the trigger, to go, run hard and do it. It was all ready for him. And David said, though, your success in accomplishing this, verse 22, is that you might set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Later on, as Solomon was ending his life and now passing the baton to his own son, Rehoboam, it said of that son, Rehoboam did evil in the sight of the Lord because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. The reality is that for our success, for us to be successful in accomplishing and walking out the purposes and plans of God, is not that we go to school and get a college degree, although those are great tools to have. It's not that we have a big house, shiny cars. None of those things are what are important to God. Solomon's success in pursuing the things of God was not dependent on the stockpile that had been handed to him by his father. It was on the extent to which his heart was oriented, was set on the things of God. If that is our calling, to set our attentions on the things of God, that we might be successful in accomplishing all he has for us to do, here's a couple things that Scripture tells us that we can do to help. Colossians chapter 3, which I opened with, continues to say, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. So there's a reality that for us to walk out these things, there's a part of us deciding, looking at our flesh and saying, you know what? I'm not going to give in to you. I'm not going to let you have your way. I'm going to cut you off. You will not dominate me. Colossians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 4 also gives us some insights into how we might be successful at this, at keeping our minds set in the heavenlies. In fact, it was already read for us, portions of it this morning, as Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be anxious about the things you face day by day. Don't let worry break in upon you. For those are the things that come from the old flesh, that come from the old realities. Don't give in to it. Philippians said, instead, break free of that tractor beam. Break free of that gravitational force by praying. Seeking God, laying down your needs before him with thanksgiving in your heart. Tells us further that we, to do that, to dwell on the things that are true, that are honorable, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable. Those realities help us set our goals, set our attentions in the heavenlies. But to circle back around and to kind of land, so to speak, on the passage that Trent read for us from Psalm 103. Probably one of the best ways for us to live Godward, to live with an eye towards heaven, is that we might do as Moses did in Psalm 103, that we might daily command our soul to bless the Lord, to bring to mind the things that he's done for us, to remember his goodness, to feed ourselves on those truths and those realities. Psalm 103 tells us, gives us an example of how we can live heavenward. Bless the Lord. Tell your soul to break into praise, to bless the Lord. In fact, Moses declared it just to make sure that his Saul was responding, spoke it to himself multiple times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then what you and I should do is what we've done this morning. We should do it moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year. Command your soul to not forget anything that God has done for you. In fact, it's more than not forgetting, but it's actively rehearsing, bringing them to mind. Because when we do that, we are able to do, as Philippians 4 tells us, to no longer look at the things we're in disagreement with, the things that create turmoil and stress, that frustrate us and anger us. Meditate with me as I read one more time the passage that Trent read for us, this time out of the New American Standard. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all those within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and I command you, O self, to forget none of his benefits. It is he who pardons all your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. It is he who redeems your life from the pit and beautifies you and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. It is he who satisfies all of your years with good things, so that no matter what stage of life you're in, that your youth may be renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and his judgments in accordance with the needs of those that are oppressed. Oh yes, he made known all of his intimate hidden ways to Moses, showed his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, overflowing with loving kindness towards you and towards me. He doesn't strive with us forever. His anger is but a moment. He doesn't deal with you according to your willful rebellion, your rejection, your sinfulness. He deals with you and me out of the overflowing heart of love that was demonstrated to you and me through the giving of his Son, Christ Jesus. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, where is heaven? Could you point to it? Nope, I can't. It's so far removed from the reality of our lives. But as far as that is away from this earth, that's how far God has removed your failures, your rebellion, your sinfulness. As far as the east is from the west, that's in a straight line. And for anyone that's going through elementary school math, you know a straight line continues in each direction. No beginning, no end. That's how far God has removed our sinfulness from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. My brothers and my sisters, a reminder to you and to me of this Thanksgiving Day is that we are called to live heavenward, to live Godward. And one of the ways we do that is to not live Thanksgiving once a year, but day by day, moment by moment, live a life of thanksgiving. When things look bad, when things look dry, when things look old, when things look scary, call to mind the goodness of your God. Let your heart and your mind dwell upon those things. My brothers and sisters, you will quickly come back into alignment. Your mind and your heart will one more time set the channel heavenward, that God might receive all the glory deserved his name. Amen? Amen. How about if we stand? We have one more song to do with the praise team.